Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Missouri voters went to the polls yesterday to cast ballots in local elections. And here to talk about the key takeaways are two of my colleagues, STLPR politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum and reporter Rachel Lippman, who, among other things, covers city politics. Jason and Rachel, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be here, Elaine.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start, as we must, with the St. Louis mayoral race. 8th Ward Alderwoman Kara Spencer defeated incumbent Tashara Jones by a whopping 28 points. Rachel, did either the victory or the margin of victory come as a surprise to you?
The victory, no, absolutely not. I think the writing was pretty clearly on the wall after the primary election in March. It would have marked a sharp reversal of political fortune if Jones had won. The margin is a little bit surprising to me, yes. I didn't think it was going to be a nail biter of a race. I didn't think it was going to be, oh, 1, 2, 3 percentage points, possibly reaching double digits. Did not think it was going to be a 28 percentage point result.
Jason, how about you?
Not really. And I was at the Tashara Jones event, and I think if people were being honest, they weren't surprised either. It is a very difficult task to climb out of a nearly 30-point hole in the primary. And it made for kind of a weird vibe where people were bracing for the end, but they weren't shocked or surprised.
Okay. How did Spencer do this, Rachel?
She just racked up margins where she needed to and kept the gaps close in North St. Louis. If you look at the ward-by-ward votes, Jones actually won more wards than she did during the primary. But Spencer, you know, you look at her margins in wards that are more majority Black. For example, the 12th ward, it was 68% to 32%. In the comptroller's race, though, Darlene Green won that ward 90% to 10%. And in some of the wards that Jones was able to win, turnout in those individual wards was below turnout overall in the city. So Spencer racked up huge margins in South St. Louis wards with high turnout and kept the margins close in more north side wards that have lower turnout. Mm-hmm.
To what extent do you think that that margin represents, you know, an indictment of Tashara Jones and the support that did emerge for Kara Spencer?
I think it's difficult with those results to tease out how much of it is people voting against Jones and people voting for Spencer. But if you have a margin that large, there has to be some inherent enthusiasm for the candidate. It is a lot more difficult. I think we saw that in the results of the national election in November. It is a lot more difficult to motivate against a candidate than it is to motivate for a candidate.
Yeah, and just to add into that, we got to remember Jones beat Spencer by about 4 percentage points in 2021. So there was probably a combination of enthusiasm for her and a big drop in support for Jones.
Mm-hmm. We are now joined by Alderwoman and now Mayor-elect Kara Spencer. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
So, Kara Spencer, what do you attribute your large margin of victory against the current mayor too?
Oh, I think, you know, we ran a very positive and constructive campaign, really focused on, the underpinning of being basic city services, but really thinking bigger about our city, you know, focusing on downtown, focusing on making our neighborhoods south and north safer, and recognizing the massive population loss out of North St. Louis. If we are going to be a successful city, we have to stem that tide. And it starts by serving those folks that live here.
Mm-hmm. Alderwoman, the inauguration is coming up very fast. It is next Tuesday. How is it that you're preparing, and can you tell us about any major cabinet picks?
We are preparing. Yes, we've been doing some groundwork, laying some groundwork over the last couple of weeks in the event that we were successful yesterday. We'll have some exciting announcements to make tomorrow. But right now, we are focusing on lining those things up and getting a little bit of R&R today. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, we'll have some exciting announcements to share.
Right. What will voters see in the first 6 months of your administration as the new mayor that affirms that they made the right choice in voting for you?
Well, we're going to see some changes in some of the leadership positions, certainly on the mayor's cabinet, but some other roles as well. And, you know, like I talked a lot about on the campaign trail, a focus on transparency. We're going to open up sunshine requests in a much more transparent manner. We're going to start to share the LUSTAT and other data that this administration has been collecting so that we can have a base point. We can really communicate with our public. We're going to open up our jails so that the oversight board can come in, and we're going to work constructively with the nonprofit and provider community to really put together a plan to better serve our unhoused community in preparation for the winter that, believe it or not, is always just right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Alderwoman, this is Jason Rosenbaum. I am interested to hear your thoughts about you running ahead of Comptroller Darlene Green and some of the majority African-American wards. You did lose those wards to Mayor Jones, but you did substantially better compared to other white citywide candidates. Why do you think that you were able to do better?
Thank you for recognizing that, Jason. We haven't seen the ward by ward results, but of course, looking at the primary, we think what you've said is spot on. And, you know, what I would attribute that to is building relationships in North St. Louis from our elected officials, but, you know, just from our community members, you know, reaching out, developing relationships with business owners, residents, being present at neighborhood associations and really hearing the concerns and providing a path, a constructive path, to developing solutions that can better serve our North City residents, I think is real key in really increasing the support that I received this round, and that hopefully we can really build from to better serve our North City communities, which is in such, you know, we all know is in such bad need of investment and support so that we can build those neighborhoods to be just as strong as our Southside components.
And Mayor-elect Spencer, what is your message to St. Louis voters who did not vote for you?
Well, you know, my message to those voters, and look, I recognize that there are thousands of folks who didn't vote for me yesterday or the weeks preceding that. And my message is my door is open to anyone and everyone who wants to see St. Louis succeed. I want to be the mayor that serves every part of St. Louis, every citizen, regardless of who you supported or whether you stayed on the sidelines in this last election cycle. I hope that I have the honor and the privilege to earn your support, to earn your trust, and to be able to best serve you. I know that we can't move forward without working together, and that looks like sometimes, you know, working with folks you don't necessarily agree with. I want to be that mayor that does that, and I'm reaching out to everyone, whether or not they supported me, to get to work to help make St. Louis a better city.
Kara Spencer is the mayor-elect for the city of St. Louis. She'll be inaugurated next Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
What is it that you made of what the mayor-elect just said, Rachel?
I mean, it is going to be interesting to see, first of all, 1 week is a incredibly tight turnaround. Really, yes, of course, you're working when you see the results of the March primary. I'm sure she was reaching out to people, you know, saying, hey, would you join my administration if I am elected? You do have to do that work. And I think anyone, regardless of who was the candidate, would have done that work. I remember reading a very an interesting article that, you know, Spencer has made her political career in some ways of being in opposition. She was in opposition to the privatization of Lambert St. Louis International Airport. She was in opposition to using city dollars to help renovate what was then Scott Trade, is now the Enterprise Center, even the you know, saying, hey, this is a essentially private asset. Yes, the city owns it, but they're using it for kind of a private good. You do now have to govern. And is that a transition that she's able to make in a constructive way?
Mm-hmm. And why is there such a quick turnaround from eliciting
city code? It is how the language is written in the city code. There are a couple of different ways that you could interpret the language. It could be the 15th. It could be the 29th. It's never been interpreted what the phrase third Tuesday in April after an election means. Mm-hmm. And because of the way the calendar is set up, the election was the latest it could possibly be this year, because right. the election has to be on the first Tuesday after the first Monday, mm-hmm. and the month started on a Tuesday.
Right.
So it's just an unhappy accident of the calendar.
Jason, you did have a question for Mayor-elect Spencer, but what do you make overall of what she said?
I think that from a practical standpoint, how she reaches out not only to Black voters, but Black aldermen is going to be very telling about how her administration goes mm-hmm. forward for the next 4 years. The Board of Aldermen is a very cantankerous body where the alliances shift from day to day and issue to issue. And I think that
sometimes even within a day.
Yeah. And I think that other mayors recently who are white have had a lot of difficulty building really solid relationships with Black aldermen. And there are also Black aldermen who are pretty aligned with St. Louis Mayor Tishar Jones. Alicia Saunier won re-election. So I think that there does have to be this reaching out, but also from a more, let's take the politics and the gamesmanship out of the way. Mayor-elect Spencer is correct. North St. Louis needs a ton of focus from city government over the next few years, especially since some projects that were started under the Jones administration are going to be coming to fruition. So I think that just for the city's future health, you can't have one half of the city the way it is right now. And I think that Spencer recognizes that, because she's talked about this not only a few minutes ago, but throughout the campaign.
And I'll be curious to see kind of what that looks like, though. You know, the Mayor Jones could point to investments that she had made in North St. Louis. Yes, there were problems with the Northside Business Grant Program and its administration, but that's an investment in the businesses that are there. There mm-hmm. are, you know, work that she'd done with other American Rescue Plan Act COVID relief monies that did focus on North St. Louis. You know, the negotiation over the settlement of the Rams dollars. It's always telling to me that, you know, she mentions we have to build up downtown and then the neighborhoods. You know, Mayor Jones had a record of investment on the north side. What does that look like in a Spencer administration? Does she cast aside some of the projects that are underway simply because they were started by her predecessor, or does she continue to build on that base? I think to say that, oh, the current mayor, Mayor Jones, did nothing for the north side is false.
Mm-hmm. Now, Board of Aldermen President Megan Green was aligned with Tishara Jones. I mean, how might that play out in terms of governing, Rachel?
I think what's going to be more interesting is the relationships between Megan Green and the Board of Aldermen, not necessarily with the new mayor. She's kind of got her own. Yes, Megan Green has power within the context of the city being on estimate and apportionment, how that new alignment plays out. I'm more curious as to how the alignment on the Board of Aldermen is going to play out and those relationships between its leader and the other members of the board.
And I'm sure you're going to get to this point, but the other thing I'm going to be looking at is how well Mayor-elect Spencer gets along with Comptroller-elect Donna Behringer, because Behringer is also on the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. She is more moderate to conservative than either Green or Spencer for the totality of her record, both as an alderwoman and a state legislator. I think that she being Behringer, could, like Darlene Green, mm-hmm. be...
There's way too many people with Green in their last
right.
name in this scenario here. But
could be kind of the power broker on that board, depending on which side she sides with. And she has very different views on things than either Green or Spencer. So that's going to be... If Spencer is able to work well with Behringer, they're going to be in good shape
yeah.
in terms of their decision-making power.
And I will be curious to see how Comptroller-elect Behringer views the issues, because policy is very different than fiscal health of the city, mm-hmm. which is what she is charged with. You know, could she couch these decisions as, I don't know if this is a good fiscal decision for the city, and run afoul of more progressive measures that Megan Green and Mayor-elect Spencer are pushing? Those dynamics are going to be interesting to see if Spencer's more progressive tendencies do come out. She is certainly not nearly as vocally and I think even politically progressive as Meghan Greene. But, you know, which way does she tilt? Does she tilt more towards Comptroller-elect Barringer or to Board President Meghan Greene in terms of ideological alignment?
Mm-hmm. And to make another kind of tilt or turn, change is coming to the board that governs St. Louis Public Schools. What is it that happened there, Rachel?
Well, there were three seats open. And as people are aware, this is a district that is in turmoil. It started with problems over transporting and getting students to school. It was then revealed that the former superintendent, Keisha Scarlett, had made some questionable hiring and spending decisions. There were three seats up on the board, 11 candidates who were kind of actively campaigning for it. And the one incumbent, so the one person who had been serving a role on the board, was Antoinette Cousins, Tony Cousins, the president. She was ousted. There are three new individuals who will be serving on that board.
Mm-hmm. And that's Brian Marston.
Yes.
Karen Collins-Adams and Alyssa A.J. Foster.
A.J. Foster.
Right.
That is correct, yes.
Let's touch on St. Louis County. Proposition B failed there. Jason, what was the vote and why? What, that is, would Prop B have done?
Prop B would have allowed the county council to fire department heads and the county councilor with 5 out of 7 votes. Because there are 6 members of the county council who are antagonistic towards St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, they would have been able to do that. It lost, and that's a big win for Sam Page.
Jason Rosenbaum, Rachel Lippman, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure, Elaine.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.